Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rates and Lanes with your hosts Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rates and Lanes podcast. I'm your host Rico Muhammad. I'll be joined shortly by my co-host, Mr. Chuck Snow. Have to apologize to everyone tonight. Not feeling all that great. Thought I was going to be able to coordinate and go and have some dental work done today, and it's just not working out the way I anticipated, to say the least. So if I sound a little slurred or something like that, I apologize. I'm not going to be doing much talking tonight. I'm going to let Chuck, and we have a carry a round table for you guys and girls tonight. So, you know, I want you guys to pay close attention. Hopefully if you got questions or whatever, I'm going to try to stick around and make sure to monitor the boards, but I'm going to get through the trend lines report really quickly, and we will turn it over to Chuck and the gang here in just a few seconds. So without any further ado, tonight's trend lines report from DAT was showing that the national diesel price the price of diesel fuel has actually went up by 1.6 percentage points from this time last week. So we're showing that the national average price of diesel is sitting at $3.19 per gallon on average nationwide. Dry van spot rates continue to climb, but there is some resistance to price going much higher. Van volumes cooled off again last week and are now the closest that they've been to this time last year of 2020 volumes. In contrast, the reefer market stayed flat with little change in volume and capacity and rates. Flatbed rates and volumes continued climbing as if it was 2018 all over again. So we're going to take a bit of a quick deeper dive and see how the rates were performing over each segment type really quickly, starting off with dry vans. Starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, we're showing an average spot market rate for dry vans coming in at $2.48 per mile on average. Moving down to the southeast and mid-Atlantic states, we're showing an average price of average spot market rate of $2.59 per mile. Moving up into the Midwest, we're showing average rates, spot market rates for dry vans at $3.02 per mile. And moving down to the south central region of the United States, we're showing an average price, outbound average price for dry vans at $2.31. Coming out of the West Coast, we're showing an average outbound spot market rate for dry vans at $2.64. And switching gears, jumping over to the flatbed portion of the report, starting out in the northeastern corridor, we're showing that the average spot market rate for flatbeds is $2.73 per mile on average. Moving out of the mid-Atlantic and southeastern states, we're showing an average spot market rate for flatbeds at $2.89. Coming out of the Midwest, we're showing average spot market rates at $3.18 per mile. Coming out of the South Central region, we're showing an average spot market rate at $2.40 per mile. And coming out of the West Coast, we're showing an average spot market rate of $2.30. And wrapping up really quickly, coming out of the shifting gears over into the reefer portion of the report, coming out of the northeastern portion of the United States, we're showing an average outbound spot market rate of $2.69. Moving down to the mid-Atlantic and southeastern states, we're showing an average outbound spot market rate of $2.63. Coming out of the Midwest, we're showing an average outbound spot market rate of $3.38. Coming out of the South Central region, we're showing an average spot market rate of $2.73. And wrapping up, coming out of the West Coast, we're showing an average spot market rate at $2.95. This week, really quickly before I turn it over to Chuck and the gang, we do not have any new entrants on the bad broker report, so that's really good news. far into the year without anyone making an appearance on the bad vocal report. Hopefully we can keep it that way. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you guys for being patient with me and bearing with me. I'm going to turn the show over to my co-host, Mr. Chuck Snow. Chuck, good evening. How are you?
I'm a lot better than you are, Rico. I cannot believe how tough you are that after getting four teeth drilled today, you're sitting in your chair doing this. That says an awful lot about your character, man.
Well, you know, we try to make it, if we're not dead, we'll try our best to try to make things happen and try to make it do, to be here for the audience and for you guys, but we definitely appreciate it, Chuck. I'm going to try to stick around here and help out in the background and try to coordinate to get everybody, make sure we get everybody up and on board. I didn't get a chance to get everyone screened in, but I think that we do have Kate up and on board with me. So I'm going to let you introduce her, and I'm going to go back and get everybody else screened in.
Wonderful. Thank you, Rico. So our first member of the roundtable tonight, I want to introduce her, is Kate Filipenko, the manager of S&M Freight in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Kate, your company does work on step decks, mostly partial loads, and that really interested me. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, how are you guys? Yes, we do specialize on
We do specialize on
53-foot staff decks and mostly partial loads, east to west, you know, back to East Coast, lots of Texas, California. And I do agree with the topic before, the rates did went up. I see, you know, partial loads, you know, full loads paid like much better past couple of weeks. It is big difference. Like, even if you'll talk about the partial, there is, like, you know, the partial half a truck a couple of weeks ago, even a month ago, paid like $4,000 from east to west. This week I see it's for six, you know. It's a huge difference. And they're sitting on the board, nobody takes them, you know. There is, like, not enough trucks for all those loads.
Well, you know, as far as I know, there are, and I don't know if anybody else has joined us, I heard Ken Olson from TKO. I heard his voice at the beginning of the show. Ken, are you with us? I don't know if Rico's on board with him yet. But I believe we're having four carriers tonight, of which three of the four are involved in the partial load business. And I really think that for smaller carriers, it's a great business to be in. I think it's easily done if you have the right people. You can afford to pay labor. You can afford to pay labor better than you can with the full load business. I find the full load business very finite, especially for small carriers.
Right.
How are you finding getting drivers?
Oh, that's all the hardest part, to find good drivers, you know, for this job. Most of the drivers which are applying, they either had like a flatbed experience of hauling coils, you know, something like steel bars, one load, you know. There's really, really minimal of people which did haul partial loads. A lot of, you know, drivers apply for a job with somebody. They work for a couple of weeks for us, like, oh, too much tarping job, too many pickups, you know, we just want one pick, one drop, but we want money.
Right.
So it's really hard. We have so many people come and go because if it's too hard, they just want pick and go. They don't want to do, you know, multiple pickups, especially stimulus checks right now. It's much harder to find a, you know, driver right now. Really hard.
So,
especially with rates right now. You know, you need to work, you know, make those money. But the spot market is really hot right now.
Oh, yeah, I know. The spot market is... the spot market has never been anywhere what it is right now, I don't think, anyways. It's incredible.
It's almost like 6 years ago. I remember when it started. Yeah. I didn't see such a good race for a long time.
It will not, I don't think it'll last forever. And I don't think that our listeners, I really don't think that our listeners are going to, are smart to go and make decisions based on this current spot market, like as far as buying extra trucks and trailers. Because who knows how long it's going to last.
Chuck, I got Daryl and our other guests up and on board. Let me know when you want to bring them in, and I'll bring them up.
Bring them on now, and if that other gentleman, Richard, from Flow Transport, he'll have a North Carolina number. He calls in. He should have called in already, so he may not. I don't know what happened. But please bring him on.
I think I'll be in.
Okay, wonderful. Then we got the whole gang is here. This is great.
All right, so we got Daryl.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening. Good evening. Is that Daryl?
Yes, sir.
Daryl, welcome to the show. Daryl, this is Kate. She's in the LTL business out of Pittsburgh with 53 Step Decks. And this is Daryl from Duronco Specialized. And he's out of Ontario, Canada. He does a partial load service from Ontario to the Pacific Northwest, Oregon area, Seattle area, and then Idaho and those areas in between. And Ken Olson, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here, Chuck.
Welcome to the show, Ken. Ken is getting to be one of my oldest friends in the industry, over 40 years. The rest of my old friends have all died. Ken's hanging in there.
Chuck,
I have to say that, Ken, but you're younger than me. You're all right.
thank you.
Ken is the
good to know.
Ken's the founder of a partial load carrier out of Milton, Ontario, Canada, called TKO, that specializes in refrigerated and frozen less than truckload. You know Daryl from Duronco, and this is Kate, and she's with a company called SNM Freight, and she does partial loads on 53-foot step decks out of Pittsburgh. And I believe we have another guest, Richard, from Flow Transport. Richard, are you on the line? Oh, maybe not. Anyways, let's go ahead. And let's talk about, I think one of the, Kate and I started talking about it, and everybody that runs trucks, including me, knows how difficult this subject is. What are we doing about attracting and retaining drivers right now? Because it's pretty tough. Kate, who's in the partial load step business, is having a tough time. Daryl and Ken, how are you making out, and what are you doing to find them and keep them?
That's an interesting question, Chuck. So just this week we ended up having two drivers resign, one an owner-operator and one that's a long-time driver. The owner-operator was enticed with a number that they threw at him that I struggle with because I don't think the market can bear it. For a lengthy period of time, maybe in the short term, as we have seen an upswing in the rates to some degree. But it was a hard conversation because, you know, you're trying to help a gentleman out and as an owner-operator make sure that, you know what, he is getting apples to apples or oranges to oranges and not getting confused along the way until such time as he gets the first paycheck. And then he starts to realize that, you know what, what was actually stated and what actually has happened are two different things. And that's this industry is synonymous for that. Let's get a body through the door. Let's tell them lots of good, great things. And then when it all falls apart, well, you know, we'll deal with it at that point in time. But as an owner-operator, you know what? They're a different breed of cat, and it's always greener on the other side. So that was tough, but the tougher one was losing a seasoned driver.
Oh, yeah.
And we lost him to the fact, not because of cross-border, but we lost him to the fact that, you know what, it's about family time. He's at a stage in his life, you know, where he's put a million miles under his belt. And you know what? He wants some time with his family. And you know what? It's very difficult to have a conversation when, you know, I go home every night and I spend time with my family. So I wish them all the best. And off he goes. But I always leave a room for, you know, for them to come back. I never close the door.
Smart move. Very smart move. Daryl, what are you finding? How are you? You've grown your fleet in the last year. What are you doing to find drivers and keep them? Keep them from leaving.
We're spending a lot of time in the family aspect, making sure the drivers know that they're important, they're valued. We do care about their families. Like, for example, I serve dinner every Friday night for my drivers leaving for the West Coast, and their families are welcome to come to that dinner. We all sit down and have a dinner all about trucks, you know, and carry on. It's also providing truth about the numbers. I've had a couple guys leave just for the same reason Ken has had. They're promised a big number, but, you know, they never get shown statements. When I bring a driver on, all my guys know it's an open book. There's no hiding it. We don't talk about rates, and we don't show rates on a regular basis by pay percentage. And we sit when you come on, and we go through all the statements of all the drivers the last couple of years. It's a long process, but it's actual numbers we're seeing. And the hardest part, too, is they have to understand they got to do it my way, because I'm going to come up with a system. So usually to keep guys, it's just honesty, treat them with respect. I make sure I get up and shake their hand when they come in. I'm there on the dock with them. I'm there to help them. I actually do accounting with my guys on weekends. If they're off and they need some help, their wives and them come into the office, and I sit down and I make myself available for them whenever they need it.
That's, you know what, that's the human side of keeping and keeping drivers. Richard, if you're on, welcome to the show. This is Richard from Flow Transport. Richard, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Richard,
hello?
You're running a couple of
yes,
trucks.
Sir.
How has your driver turnover been with your one extra truck that you've got a driver in?
Oh, I got my second truck in November, so this was my first and only driver. You know, he started in January, so I haven't had really much experience. I haven't had any turnover experience yet.
Oh, good. Well, then you're, you know, by industry averages, you're beating the averages. If you've had him since January and it's now getting close to April and he's still working for you, you're doing something right. So congratulations, because it's pretty bad down there.
Well, thank you.
And I know that my co-host, Rico, has spent a fortune and a lot of time trying to find a suitable driver for an extra truck he wants to put on, and he's having no luck either. The guys that he's getting just don't have the reputation or the driving record, or there's something that's not right. So he's had one heck of a time. I'm finding myself in that position right now with a truck without a driver, and I got to tell you, the pickings are slim out there. The amount of ads that are on our Canadian source to hire drivers is an online thing called Kijiji, and I wish to God it didn't exist. You know, I wish we were back in the days of newspapers, but it's just, it's a different world. And, you know, I think that Ken Olson from TKO, you said something that was so true, and that's part of the problem I think that our industry has. When a driver comes in the door, they, trucking companies will tell that man or woman anything they want to hear to get them on board. Yeah, you want home time. You got all you want. Don't worry about it. And then next thing you know, this poor guy is stuck out in the West Coast, and he hasn't seen his wife or kids in 6 weeks. He's not staying. You know, we take a, you know, what's worked for us, and it's always worked. We tell the truth. Tell people what the job entails. Don't BS them. Ask them about their home life, you know. Ken, you run predominantly short haul these days, correct?
Yeah, typically we're a 500-mile radius of Toronto. So a driver can can leave on a Sunday, be back on a Tuesday morning, have Tuesday night off with his family out Wednesday, back on Friday, and then have the weekend to have family time. But even that sometimes is not enough, especially when you have a young family. I'm finding drivers that have more than two kids. Mom has a very difficult time, you know, especially the COVID time frame that we're going through right now, when really she has no time to herself, and dad's on the road driving and trying to be supportive, but it's just not working out. And it's, you know,
well, I agree.
It's lots of grief.
That's a really good point, Ken. We've got a guy who's having a horrible time, and once again, talking to him a lot, trying to understand that he needs to make time. When he gets home, he runs and goes fishing all the time. He doesn't stay around the home. And I'm kind of doing what I used to do with my family, because at one time I was only home 4 days a month because I worked for West Air for 17 years. And I make sure when I come home, my time is with my family. Anything we do together. And trying to get some guys to understand they want to go and drink beer with their buddies and go fishing. And it's like, look, if you want to be successful at this, you have to make time for your family and give up some of your hobbies for right now. Put your money away. Start a mini fleet inside my fleet so you can get home time and go fishing. But you need to spend the time working on your business and working on your home life. Because no wife, no kids is not very fun at all.
No.
Great point. No. That's, you know, that's what it's all about. As a matter of fact, we were talking about it last week. We had a guest on who was married for, I think, 52 years, and I've been with my wife for 43 years, and Rico just got engaged, and we were giving Rico some sage marital advice. And you know what? What it comes down to it, if you want to be successful in your business, you have to pretty much be successful in your home life. Pretty hard to be to let one suffer. You really need to have a certain type of strong woman, especially in this business, because our hours are crazy, our lives are sporadic. It's not easy being married to somebody that owns or manages a trucking business, or, you know, small or big. There's always those calls, and, you know, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Christmas night, you know, you're having dinner with your family, you get a call because some ass can't get into the yard because he left his key at home and he's got a hot load, et cetera, et cetera. We've all seen it. We've all been through it. And you better have a good wife or good husband at home if you're going to make this work. Because if they're not understanding, it won't work. And there's plenty of, there's plenty of opportunities out there if you've got somebody that's really strong. Kate, you're the only lady on the show. How are you managing as the manager of a trucking company with your home life? I take it you have some younger children?
So we have 19 company trucks, and 17 of them are OTRs. And whenever we hire drivers, whenever they go on the road, we do discuss ahead when they need to be home, how long they plan to stay home. Most of the time, they take just truck with them home. You know, that would be Michigan, it would be Florida, it doesn't matter. We will take care of them, and they'll find them, they'll load home. And we understand, you know, the home time is the most important. You know, the driver will be mad if he's going to miss his home time. So this is number one. We are on top of that. And mostly of our drivers which work for us, they work already for like 3 years and up. And, you know, they do get some bonuses, you know, for the holidays. We do take care of our drivers. But, you know, the better the drivers, you know, soon they become owner-operators and leave. So that's the saddest part, you know. We take care of them too good. They buy in trucks.
Well, you know what? That's part of success. I want to share this with you, and I shared it with Daryl, and he took this concept that my wife and I came up with probably about 20 years ago, and he took it to the next level. What we did was back in 2000, we bought a brand new Kenworth, and in those days they were, I think it was about $145,000. Big long nose truck, called it our REAP truck, and REAP spelled REEP, and it was Rolling Equity Employee Program. And what it was at the end of the year, you had a choice: either take a small bonus or own part of this truck. And about 10 people chose not to take their bonus, but instead took part ownership of the truck. And how it worked is Traffic's paid for the monthly payments on the truck, paid for the maintenance, and when the truck was paid for or shortly before, what we did was we sold the truck, and the team shared the money we got from the truck. And we did this. We were supposed to keep it for 4 years. We kept it for three, because there was some fatigue on the engine. It wasn't going, but it could have. And everybody ended up getting a check. I think there was about eight people by the time it all left that had stayed on that we may have lost, including some drivers. And one, actually, we lost a driver, so he died of a heart attack, young guy. And his widow got to keep she got to claim that money. So about, I think, eight people got to claim about $60,000 or $65,000, which is still a lot of money, but 20 years ago, $7,000 or $7,500 each, that was a fair bit of money. You know, it was a down payment on a house in the outlying areas of Toronto, which you couldn't touch now. And that, you know, that kept us from having the turnover in some drivers and some office staff. I'm just throwing it out there of stuff you can do. Now, Daryl, you took that Rolling Equity Employee Program. What did you do with it? Tell our roundtable and our listeners.
It's called the DERE plan, which is Drenco Employee Rolling Equity Plan. And what I'm doing is I'm trying it out right now, so we haven't had the success, but we're doing it for the first time. We all know that resale value on a truck is extremely hard to figure out. You never know what a truck's going to be worth. It's not in I don't know how other people do their business plan, but it's not in my business plan. If I can sell a truck, I sell it. It's going back in the company, or I trade it. So what I've decided to do is I'm doing it on a used truck that actually Chuck sold me. I'm having a driver start. He's going to drive it for 3 years, so I got a 3-year loan on it. As long as he does 20 trips to the West Coast, so that gives him about 8 weeks of holidays a year. If he does more, then that's a bonus for me. But at the end, I'm going to either give it to him so that he can be an owner-operator, free and clear, with a truck to start, or we're going to sell it, and whatever I sell it for, I'm giving to him as a bonus. So, you know, on the 2017 International, I'm paying for all the payments, all the maintenance. He gets his paycheck. There's no funky stuff going on. It's straight up employee-employer relationship. But at the end, say I figure about 15 grand for the truck. That's going to be his bonus. So for 3 years, he basically has $5,000 a year bonus.
That's a nice thing to do.
So.
And you know what? That holds him, and he gets a beautiful bonus if he can stay on for 3 years.
Well, you got to work somewhere. You got to work for Grunco.
So I just want to step in for a second. Our industry is notorious for a lot of different things. But what I'm finding now, especially with senior drivers, is this. They've never prepared for retirement at all. They've never thought about, you know, the day that at 65 or the drivers that want to stay on beyond 65 are thinking about, you know, what happens beyond? What am I doing? What type of income am I going to have other than kind of pension plan and old age plan? And I think it's the time now that the industry really takes a good hard look at their employees, whether it be inside staff or for driving staff, and put an RSP program together that, you know what, not only are they making money driving up and down the road, but the company is really taking an interest in them on a longevity aspect and contributing to their old age. We all know a lot of them live paycheck to paycheck. And we need to do something. If we're going to attract a younger generation of drivers or staff, for that matter, we need not only to be tech savvy, but also thinking about longevity, too. Just throwing that out on the table.
I could not
actually
agree
that's
more.
Why. Sorry.
Go ahead. Please.
That's why I sit down and I do the accounting with my drivers. Now, I mainly employ owner-operators. I'm actually really excited to say one of my guys who started with me became an owner-operator. I sit down and, you know, they do paycheck to paycheck. So this is where personal, getting to know your guys, it takes a little more time. Trust me, I give up a lot of time. My wife says, what are you doing? But it's like, you know, these are my guys. I wouldn't have my dream if it wasn't for them. And when you talk about taxes, it's about understanding their budget, helping them with their budget, you know, showing them how RRSPs can help, stock planning. All this stuff really matters. And I'm actually sitting down with one of my guys who's been here for 3 years, and he sees what I've said is true, and I've been honest with him. So we're sitting down, we're going to develop a rapid budget plan, and I believe I can have them in the house by January. So I'm going to show them how to put the money away,
wow,
put it into RSPs, and buy his first house. You know, it's funny. When I've worked for a lot of companies over the years, because I'm a driver turned fleet operator, and they all said, keep your guys broke, keep them running 6 days a week. I hate that. I'm trying not to do that.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't work.
What I'm trying to do is make,
look what we,
yeah, make my, yeah, guys. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, well, look what we've done in the last 40 years since we've had, or 35 years up here in Canada, since we've had deregulation. We've gone through every cheap guy and girl we could find to stick behind a steering wheel. We've gone through them as an industry. We've abused the hell out of them, and they're turned off of trucking, and they're doing all sorts of other things. They're certainly turned off of long-distance trucking. And if they're still,
yeah,
trucking, they want to be home every night because we haven't made it very pleasurable for them or profitable with that attitude. And I don't think there's anybody on this call tonight that has that attitude. I think that kind of sets us apart from especially the mega carriers you hear some of these stories. Now, I'm sure there's some mega carriers out there that treat their people like gold, and that's why they are mega carriers. But there are some other ones out there that have that the never plan, as we fondly call it, you know, lease purchase, and just abuse the heck out of people. And those are the people that could be driving for all of us or for anybody, and they get tired of it. You know, they lose everything trying to get that dream of owning a truck. So I think what I'm hearing from you, Daryl, is you're making that dream a reality, and God bless you. Good for doing that.
Yep.
No, I think
well,
that's
the other
great.
Thing we do too is a lot of carriers, you know, there's always office stuff. Drivers are always gone. I actually take some extra time, and COVID's kind of screwed me up on my plan, but I actually purposely set up nights to go go-karting with my drivers and their family. And we've done axe throwing, we've done go-karting. It's a company-sponsored event, but we get everybody together and get everybody out, kids, wives, the whole nine yards. You know, there's so many companies that have done things for their office. What do they do for their drivers? You know, the
and
more
you
can do
on the other
people.
Hand, it's difficult to do it because these guys are away from home so much, and when they are back with their families, they don't want to go to a company-sponsored event quite often.
Yeah. You know, they're the first time they know it, and they have
for
a blast. Sorry.
I'm sorry, but I will say I commend you for doing what you're doing. The other thing that I think that that you do that sets you apart from what I'm hearing is that, you know what, you respect them to the nth degree, and a lot of the drivers don't get that respect. And when they don't get the respect, it just turns them off. Turns them off the whole industry.
Yep. Yeah.
But anyway, good job, Daryl, on putting programs together for drivers. I used to do bowling nights, and then all of a sudden, what had happened was on the bowling nights, it turned out to be, well, that was a lot of fun, but what is their next venture, and then what was the next venture? And I would say to them, why don't you think about something that you like to do, present it, and we'll do it. And it got to the point where they just said, well, no, because I got to think about it. And there's a trade-off, right? If you're getting my drift, I don't always want to think. I, you know, we used to have Christmas parties, right?
Right.
I'm sorry if I'm going off in a different tangent, but
no, please,
the theme is
the
same. Yeah, the theme is the same. We want to have a party. We want to do this. We want to do that. And we would do it, and then the backlash would happen. It's like, this didn't happen, this didn't happen, this didn't happen. And then finally I just said, okay, listen, here's the budget. You guys plan it. I'll sit with you all, right? We can have a little committee, and we can plan it. So we'll have staff, drivers, and me sitting in an office planning a Christmas party for all of us. And you know what? It fell flat on its face. Sorry to say that.
No, you know what?
They want you to do the work, and then they want to complain about it.
Well,
but
you know what?
There are certain groups.
You can't.
Sorry, Chuck.
That's what happens. Well, that's what happens, guys, to a certain size. You know, we're lucky. Our branch offices, most of them are small enough. They can still put it together to have a manageable Christmas party. But once you get a certain size, you can't have it with the husbands and wives because then it gets too big. And you can't have it without the husbands and wives because then on a Saturday night, nobody wants to come because they don't want to leave their husband or wife at home. So, you know, you can't win. And, you know, we've tried everything. And I think from now on, I think for legality's sake, because that's something else that I think everybody on this call and any of our listeners that run trucking or logistics companies need to remember. If you hold a Christmas function or any function and there's alcohol involved, and one of your people goes, drinks too much, and you send them home in a cab, and then they leave their home in a car after being intoxicated on your liquor, you can still be held responsible in some jurisdictions. So keep that in mind. And I think an awful lot of companies have gotten away from Christmas parties for that reason.
Liability is killing everything.
It is, unfortunately. You know, the best idea for an annual party I heard about was Claude Robert from Robert Transport, which to our American friends, they'll see Robert Transport. They're yellow and black trucks out of Quebec. And Claude Robert has an apple farm. And every year he has a weekend that he dedicates to his entire staff. And people come and they pick apples and they make apple pies and they do family things. They bring their families. And I think that that is a much safer way to do things, is make it family inclusive somehow. You know, you have a, you know, you have even a summertime picnic or something where there's no booze, include their families, and you're on much safer grounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just food for thought.
Great idea, Chuck.
You know, not everybody has an apple farm, but, you know, you can arrange at a park. There are some private parks, even in Ontario here, that you can have a picnic. We've done that one before as well. We have a summer picnic. Because one of the other things, if we're getting, and we're way off topic here, but it's, you can't be off topic with a bunch of people in the trucking and logistics industries. One of the other problems we've run into through the years is trying to hold a Christmas function before Christmas, because both your employees and their spouses have family obligations. You know, they got to go to Aunt Irma's house or Uncle Roger's house, and it conflicts with that date. So what we started to do was we started to hold our annual holiday party in January. And that seemed to work, you know, for the smaller offices. Unfortunately, when you get to the larger offices, it's just too hard to do. I don't know if we're going to do it again or if we're going to figure something else out that works. Kate, what do you do for your team down in Pittsburgh?
Most of our drivers, they're not from Pittsburgh. So for our drivers, you know, we don't do like bowling or don't go out with our drivers anywhere. So as an office, we are pretty good. As for the drivers, you know, I can't tell that we do similar things like you guys were telling. And for the families, we just talk to the drivers, you know, for the family needs, whenever they need to go home, if there is, you know, anything they can help with. But especially with pandemic, you know, right now, we don't pretty much even see the drivers.
nothing is the same with this pandemic, and I don't think that you know, personally, I don't think this is going to be over with for a while yet. You know, we have a lot of people, especially up here in Canada, we're so slow to vaccinate. I was talking to my daughter tonight in Vancouver, and she was talking to her local pharmacist, and he said, come on in and get vaccinated. She said, but I'm not eligible. He said, I'm throwing so much of this vaccine away because it's expired. Come in anyways, don't worry about it. And I think that's, you know, just the way this was rolled out. Now, speaking of pandemic, I just want to get a picture from everybody. Overall, how is everybody's business? Are you way up from a year ago, or are you flat? Richard, I'm going to ask you first, because you're our newcomer. You've been at this for over a year. On your one truck, you can't judge by two trucks, but on your one truck, are you up over a year ago, or are you flat?
Well,
somebody's got some background, some little kids in the back. If you could mute your cell phone, it would be great.
Yeah. So you said, am I up from last year?
Yeah.
I think, I would say if I had to do a projection, yes, I am up from last year. I did take a bad hit, like I think around April and May because of COVID. Things that got like really, really bad. We was only making like lucky to make $1 a mile, actually, for myself. So, you know, right now, yeah, I'm up. Definitely. Look, things are looking better. Rates are higher. So, yeah.
Oh, good. Glad to hear. And, Daryl, how are you? Are you up or down?
We're up. We're up 8%.
8%?
So we've actually had an increase of 8%. We were at 12, but our back calls, because we do so much toys, have taken a little bit of a downer. So over the whole board, we're up 8%, which is great. I was actually pretty surprised.
Wow, congratulations. And Ken?
Yes. And hey, Richard, did you ever get into that? Sorry.
Say it again?
Are you
I
up
just
or down?
Say, Richard, you're up.
This is Richard.
Hang on. I'll get to Richard in a second. Let me just run through the panel here. And Kate, are you up or down? Kate, do you hear me?
I can hear you.
We'll go back to Kate. Oh, hey, are you? Is your business up or is it down from a year ago?
It is up. It is up. When the pandemic started, when they shut down Pennsylvania and California, it felt a little bit, but, you know, it was like maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and then it was just going up, up, and up.
Good, good. Glad to hear it. This is a great place to take the pulse of the industry, because you're pretty broad-spectrum where everybody goes. And most people I talk to are way up. The only thing that's keeping them from expanding really is drivers, and everybody's got that issue. Now, Daryl, you were going to ask or give a suggestion to Richard, I believe.
Yes, if he ever gets himself in that position where he's down to a buck a mile, he needs to call me or contact me by email, and I will help him. I've got some tricks up my sleeve that can definitely help him out. And I would like to help out.
That.
That's what we're all here for.
I definitely appreciate that.
You know,
hopefully I can get you information from Chuck.
Yeah, we'll
just have
we'll
a fender because by the end I'm going to give you my information. Yeah.
Okay.
So we all share it at the, you know, at the end of the show. We share it with our audience as well. Now, how's everybody making out with the next the next big question, insurance? It's going up for everybody, whether whether you've had losses or not. I'm going to start this time with you, Kate. What have you found with insurance in this past year?
I don't deal much with insurance. All I know, we switched this year to the new one, and it actually works much better for us, saving a lot of money compared to the insurance we had before. So we actually just changed it maybe like a month ago.
My question is, have you had to test the insurance and see if it's really there?
No.
Okay.
We haven't.
Okay. Because there's a lot. See, your market's a little different down there. You have more people offering it than in Canada. In Canada, we have a very limited market. There's only a very small handful of people that will provide truck insurance. And my best advice to anybody is make sure you're buying real insurance when you get a great deal. The other suggestion I have for people when it comes to insurance, be very careful about switching companies and even switching brokers. There's no sense switching brokers unless there's a problem. You're much better off if you've got a good broker that works with you and you can work with that brokerage company. For God's sake, they're one of your best assets. So you want to stay. If you've got a strong insurance broker, you really want to be loyal to them. Ken, what are you finding with insurance?
So last year we had a marginal increase. We don't renew the insurance until July of this year. We do a quarterly audit with the with the insurance company themselves. They have an independent gentleman that comes out. And so far, yeah, we've done very well. But you know what, Chuck? You're absolutely correct. There are only so many people that are writing insurance here in Canada. And if you don't fit that bill, you're in trouble. Your business could be in trouble. Now, my thing is, and I've been, I'm flirting with it, and I haven't got enough units, but I'm very close, and I believe that I fit the bill of going to insurance within a group.
Captive?
I just went a captive, yes.
Are you talking about joining a captive?
I want to join a captive, and for several different reasons. One of them being that if everyone in the captive is very successful on controlling their insurance, however that is, cargo claims, accidents, we all benefit. The other aspect of the going into a captive is the mere fact that when you're in a pool operation and you're being sued, insurance companies just absolutely will pay out without, you know, wanting to go to court. Now, in a captive, the beauty of a captive is that they will go to court to fight it. So if you have a nuisance 100%. Claim, whatever that may be, okay, and all of a sudden is a $50,000 payout on that claim, which was ridiculous to begin with, that goes against your record. Whereas in a captive, you can fight that. And
I agree.
You know what? You're the benefit.
Okay. You know what? For our listeners and anybody on the board at the roundtable tonight that doesn't know what a captive is, it's a cooperative. It's a self-funded insurance policy that a group of carriers puts together, and I know the one you're probably flirting with, and they're a really good captive. My issue with the captive, and we've had an insurance expert on here several times, a gentleman named Tommy Roop, and they call him Professor Truck Insurance, and he actually taught truck insurance at a university, and Tommy warns people against going to captives. And with the group you're talking about, I just had an incident where a load that we gave them that was worth $250,000 got stolen from their yard. And all we need is a letter, a normal letter from the insurance company saying, hey, we're covering this, which is normal business. You know, they've got insurance and, you know, our investigators are on it, and we've got this covered for you. We cannot get that letter because it's not an insurance company. So just be careful when you're considering captives, and I'll certainly put you or any of our listeners in touch with Tommy Rook if you want to speak to him about them. There's a lot of Ken's 100% right. I remember I was with an insurance company, and they were a real good insurance company. I shouldn't mention their name on the radio, on the show here. I don't want to get sued, but I'll say it started with a Z and it ended with an H, and it's a city in Switzerland, but I'm not going to say their name. And they were a great insurance company, but they were just too damn quick. Bogus claims for $10,000 because somebody sideswiped a 1994 Olds Cutlass in, you know, somewhere in the Bronx, and won $10,000 for a dent in the doorknob. They were paying it without any question because they said, you know what, this is a lot cheaper than fighting it with lawyers. That was their attitude. And you know what?
Yes.
The $10,000, we ended up paying it anyway, so we may as well just cut the guy a check for $10,000, put it through insurance. So yes. Ken is 100% right. Daryl, what are you finding with insurance?
I'm just trying to hold my own. I didn't get an increase last year. I'm putting extra things in place, working on my safety and compliance, my driver training, and I'm I'm praying to be the same this year. We're working with the insurance in Northbridge. There's talk of us coming in the same as last year, which I'll be quite happy with. Our claims and are way down. But to be honest, I got half fleet last year, so I got to hire my own drivers, but I didn't actually get my 21B. So they don't, the insurance doesn't consider me fleet yet. So I'm just keeping my fingers crossed and hope I get fleet this year. We've done a lot of work for it, invested in Carrier's Edge, doing more driver meetings, you know, just working on everything and hoping to hold our own because, you know, I don't think anyone's going to get a reduction. But I think if we can stay
level,
the same as last year, I think you're ahead of the game.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I was talking to you about the captive as well, and you kind of changed my mind on it. I'm doing a little bit more research because I was really interested in getting into the Blue Sky program, and I after your conversation, I've kind of been rethinking it.
Okay, and last of all, Richard, what are you finding? How are you making out with insurance?
My insurance is, I would say, pretty high because, you know, I bought my first truck right out of CDL school, so my insurance is already high from the beginning. And when I renewed my insurance, it basically stayed the same. They told me that once I have 2 years on my business license and my CDL license, then I will get like a discount. But so I would say right now it's still pretty high.
Okay. It'll come down. Listen, I just got word from Rico that we're getting close to the edge. This is the fastest hour of my entire week, and I really enjoy this time. And I want to ask each of you to just – give out your information if you don't mind, you know, your company information, what you do really quickly in about 40 seconds. If somebody wants to get hold of you, maybe they want a job as an owner-operator. Maybe it's a broker wants to use your services. And I'm going to start with Kate, you first. Give your company information and how they get in touch with you.
Sounds good. Our company information. So I work for logistics based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We do a lot of LTL freight, Texas, California, Northeast, and we do look for drivers always. And if anybody needs a job or any broker has a freight for us, you need help, please call us at 412-515-0541. That's my direct line. Again, 412.
Thank you, Kate.
515-0541.
Richard, anybody wants to get in touch with you? You run Reefer from North Carolina to Texas, Texas to New Jersey, New Jersey back down to North Carolina. So anybody that's a broker, needs a good guy in that lane, give Richard a call. Richard, how do people get in touch with you?
My number is 704-995-0021, and my email address is flowtransports@gmail.com.
Thank you. And Ken Olson.
Pretty simple. You can reach me at ken.olson@tkotransportation.com. Again, we're a regional carrier 500 to 600 miles from Toronto, specializing in refrigeration, both in the food and the chemical industry. So if anyone's interested, please send me an email, and I'll follow up with a phone call or an email. Chuck, just one thing I would like to maybe you think about, you and Rico think about coming up. I've been reading lots of information about the U.S. kind of opening up to the younger generation, 21 of age, and driving and getting insurance. You know what? I think that's a great topic to talk about, both in Canada and the United States.
I totally agree. I gotta catch Daryl, or we're gonna lose our taping. Daryl from Durenco, go ahead, buddy. How do they get in touch with you?
I can be reached at Daryl at Darenko Specialized. That's DarunkoSpecialized.com or 705-214-9659, extension 101, and just joined Instagram, and I believe my number, my name is Daryl Rutherford on Instagram. So reach out if we can help, if you need a job, if you want to talk, shoot an idea, I'm here. I love this business. Always here for everybody.
Thanks so much. To our roundtable, to Ken, to Daryl, to Kate, to Richard, thank you so much, all of you, for joining us. You really made this hour fly. To our listeners, you could have been anywhere, but instead you chose to hang out with Rico and myself and our guests, and we love you for it. To my co-host, Rico Muhammad, I hope to God you're feeling better by tomorrow. What a trooper. Good night, everybody. And as Rico says, keep it between the mustard and the mayonnaise. We'll see you next week. And as I says, catch you on the flip flop. Good night, and God bless everyone.
Thank you, guys.
All right,
good night.
Thanks, Doc. Cheers.
Thanks. Bye.